and welcome sinners, redeem the world from all its sins. I am Jesus Christ, God's Son, who gave himself for all. You must give your lives for all, so all might live.
Sick. We must go to welcome sinners. We must go to give all hope. We must strengthen all in life. Show the way, the truth, the life. We'll sacrifice our lives so all might live.
Yes, he is the bread of life. He's the precious wine of life.
He has fed us with the fish. 5,000 he did feed. Oh, the hungry will not starve. We will have our daily bread. He gave his life for all, so all might live.
Yes, he is the bread of life. He's the precious wine of life. He has fed us with the fish. Ooh, 5,000 he did feed.
Oh, the hungry will not starve.
Good morning. I'm Caterina Viri, and this is Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. I'm so happy to be here today, and it's going to be an amazing show. We have the guests here, my sister, Serena Viri. We have Michael Taylor, her friend. They both attend the Catholic University of America. And we have Father Peter here as well. Thank you, Father. Good morning.
Good morning, Caterina.
So we have our call-in number today is 631-888-8811, and our text-in number is 516-784-6081. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a shout-out. We haven't heard from you in a while, so we'd just love to hear from you. And anything you would like to say, this is your station, so any... if you have a testimony or experience that really brought you closer to God, or just any questions you have for Father Peter, Serena, Michael, please feel free. We're welcome to listen and to talk with you. So, okay. So today we're going to be talking about experiences that have brought you closer to Christ and the Catholic University of America and experiences with college. And Father Peter, I know, did you want to share something just to kind of get us started? Or?
Well, sure. You know, it's during the summertime now, and we have the perfect summer gospel perfect summer gospel for us today. Matthew 11. Look at the last verse, two of those verses. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. What a nice thing to think about during vacation time, when the Lord say, come away and rest a while. You know what I mean? It's a good topic to think about. What does it mean to rest? Why are we resting? You know, obvious reasons to restore our bodies, but also to restore our souls. So what can we do spiritually to rest a little bit? See, these some might be able to take a true pilgrimage or a true vacation. Others have to sneak in one, a little hour, half hour here, a half hour rest, a little quick break in the park or something like that. But the Lord wants to restore and refresh us during this wonderful summer season.
It's so funny because we were just mentioning in the car coming here that Michael went on a pilgrimage not too long ago, and we were also talking about the park and what parks are close to our town, because, you know, we live in the suburbs, and where are those getaways, you know? So it ties in beautifully.
Sure.
Did you... that's beautiful. Rest a while. That's the summer. It's perfect timing.
And the young people are off, and here they are, ready to tell us about their adventures in their first year of college, right?
Yes.
There they are. They're taking a break, but they're ready to share what happened to them there, their first year at Catholic U.
Yeah, this early morning. Thank you guys for coming. I know it's such an honor and blessing. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, of course. We're really happy to be here, especially because tomorrow is my sister Katharina's birthday. So this is something really special we could do together to celebrate.
Happy birthday, Katharina.
Happy birthday.
You're a special person.
Yes.
God bless you guys. I feel so blessed and so happy, you know, just to be thankful for your life, and I'm just so happy to be here every Saturday and share with
and it's
with
definitely
all of you.
Visible. You can tell that you just have this joy apparent about you. So
thank you. Yeah, it truly is a joy coming here, and I've just been so, I've grown as a person. It's just been so blessed, so thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get started here. How should we do you want to start?
Sure, I can start. Mm-hmm. Going to the Catholic University of America was definitely a surprise for me, because picking my college was probably one of the most stressful experiences that I had. And a lot of people kind of go through this, like, the end of senior year, because it's your first, like, really big decision that you have to make that's going to affect you for the next 4 years. So there was a lot of things on my list that I wanted from a school, but Catholic was actually at the bottom of my list. And I applied to it just because the last time I was on the show, I actually talked about this too, that I went to World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro, and I actually wound up meeting up with a group of young people in the campus ministry from Catholic U. And that's how I kind of got my first, like, glimpse of, like, the people at the school, the kind of atmosphere that it is. And so that was really amazing. That was kind of, like, my first interaction. So then that was when I was a sophomore, so it kind of, I kind of forgot a little bit, and then, like, school kind of happened. But then when I had to decide to go, like, to what school to go to, a couple of factors came up, but when I really made my decision when I visited Catholic, because something just clicked, and it was the atmosphere, the kind of people that I met there. Everybody was just so happy. It was like I'd never experienced that, like, especially just coming from, like, where we live in Long Island. It's like they're, like, people were just joyful and ready to be welcoming and to greet you and, like, all good things. And especially, like, there's just such a very present, like, passion for the faith that was something that going to public school was something that I definitely lacked. So I wanted a school that had where I knew that I could really deepen my faith, and I found that where I am, and I'm so, so happy.
Great. That's so inspiring. I'm sure we could all relate to the stressful 12th grade making that decision. And that's so nice how that seed was planted at the World Youth Day. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of how your life went on. And tell us why Catholic was at first at the bottom of your list.
It was just because, like, I hadn't really thought of it like, and there was other schools, like, I really wanted to go to, like, maybe a school that was closer by or a school that maybe, like, may seem more prestigious. But mm-hmm. in the end, like, that's not really what's important. And I had to, like, figure it out. Like, it took me a little while to, like, really understand that it's not where, like, other people want me to go or it's not where other people are telling me to go, but it's where I'm going to be happiest. Because in the end, I knew that I wasn't going to be as happy at a school where I was going to be forced to, like, spend all my time studying or be in a very stressful atmosphere of competition. I wanted somewhere I was going to be accepting and help me grow and not just push me to compete.
Great. And do you feel after your first year that you have had that experience?
God really does have a plan. And everybody says that when, like, you're trying to pick your school, but it's so true that you end up where you're exactly supposed to be. And I've met incredible people. I never could have imagined all the joy and all the happiness that I could have got from just, like, my first year alone at college. So, yes, I do feel like I made the right decision.
Oh, good. That's such a blessing. And
Well, do the folks out there know a little bit about Catholic University? It's the bishop's own college or the bishop's own university. So most of the Catholic colleges are founded by religious orders, different groups of priests, brothers or sisters that have a special charism. But this one is directly under the bishop. So it's the one that we take a collection for in all the parishes. So every pastor, in fact, every priest knows a little about Catholic University. But they have some specialties there, I think, and there's some specialties. You have to take certain courses in philosophy and theology, and I'd like to hear a little bit about those. I know you just started, but as a priest, naturally, I'm curious, and as somebody who actually taught in a seminary college, I'd like to know just a little bit about those things. What would you say about those courses in philosophy and theology that you had to take at Catholic University?
As a first-year student, you are required to take two philosophy classes and an English class and a theology class. I think it was really great because they put you in with the same students in each of those four classes, and I think it really helped because the kids really warmed up to each other. And I think the classes, you don't only have Catholic kids in each class that you take, because I mean it's universal school, so any sort of religion can really go there. So I got to hear perspectives from really everyone about, like, their thoughts in philosophy and their thoughts in theology. And I think it's very eye-opening, and it helps you see different point of views, and it kind of helps strengthen your own point of view.
I see.
Sometimes, you know, I heard, like, I mean, I respect their thoughts and stuff, but sometimes you hear some things and it just makes you a little bit stronger in what you know and put your faith in.
Oh.
And I think it really helps you to see how your differences can also make you similar, but mm-hmm. also Catholicism is really a strong faith, and I really think that was shown in those classes that I took with everyone.
Well, no, a lot of people hear the word philosophy, but not everyone actually knows what it is. I mean, and now there's a lot of different definitions and so forth, but if having taken a course or two, in a paragraph or so, would you just tell us what is philosophy as you understand it?
Yeah, that's something that I learned going into college, too, because I went in and I was like, all right, they want me to take philosophy. I have no idea what that is. So before I even take this class, I'm going to have to learn, like, what the definition would be. So going out, I think I kind of understand it now as it teaches you how to think or how to, like, see the world and, like, why you kind of do what you do. So in our philosophy class especially, we learned, like, how to kind of go through thought processes and see, like, whether or not, like, this is actually true based on, like, the proofs I've been given or things like that, or whether this, like, reality that people see, like, makes sense or not. And, like, that's kind of how you discern, like, the truth in the world, I think.
All right. It's a discovery of truth.
Yeah.
Right? The word itself is an old Greek word, means the love of wisdom, right? The love of wisdom.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, did you actually try to discover the right and wrong, or true and false, or mm-hmm. or God or no God? Did you actually deal with a few of those questions?
Yes, definitely. We read a lot of Greek. Like, the way it was set up was the first semester was classical philosophy, and the second semester was modern philosophy. And that really complemented the theology class that we had to take, which is like very beginner theology, but it was God's Words and Human Words was the title of the course. So it was especially focused on just like God's relational love for humanity. And that was something that we kind of explored in philosophy, reading Aquinas and authors like that, where like, does God exist? Like, what's the reality of the soul? Things like that. Like, I had to write a paper on Descartes' view of the soul compared to Aquinas and things like that. So it really makes you think about, like, who am I as a person? What is my relationship with God? And how does that affect the way I live my life?
Right. Now, when you were looking into authors like Descartes and Aquinas, did you have a lot on the internet, or did you work with the library, or what did you, a little of both, or notes the professor was giving? What methods do they use?
It was a lot of lecture and discussion, because our professor really didn't want us, like, we used some outside sources, but he didn't want us getting too confused. So it was a lot of dialogue, a lot of office hours, and, like, talking with each other. Like, that was what Michael said about, like, the learning communities. I feel like that really helped, because I got so close, and we would, like, after philosophy, we would go out and, like, discuss what we learned for, like, another hour. So it was, like, trial and error, keep, like, talking and debating. And I guess, like, that's how, like, philosophy started in the first place. So.
That's right. That was Socrates, right? It was getting the young people to think, right? Mm-hmm. That was the... So please go ahead.
It was good preparation for the show, right? Yeah. The debating. Now you could share on the show what beautiful things you're learning. But no, that's so amazing. Thank you. Not everyone gets the chance to take philosophy, and it's great.
It was hard. It was a challenging class, but it was rewarding in its way too, because I'd never experienced something like that. So
before, something different. And so, Michael, thank you for coming. Mm-hmm. I know we sprung it on you, but it's going to be amazing. tell us about, I know you went on a pilgrimage recently to Italy.
Yep.
Just share about your experience and who you went with and how that helped you grow in your faith.
So the pilgrimage was designed for student athletes who... because they're part of a team, they can't really study abroad ever. So the Catholic University of America got a quick donation to its campus ministry, and they decided to put the money towards giving some student athletes a pilgrimage to Italy. It's because we couldn't ever study abroad and ever get that experience any other way. So as soon as the school year ended, they gave me and 9 other kids, Catholic kids, a chance to go to Italy. We were there for about 8 days. It was really awesome, because I went to Italy once before, but it was just with my family, and to experience it with other people outside of my family, and also do like it was really a pilgrimage, because I mean, we saw like 3 churches every single day, but each one like better than the last. It was amazing. But to be there with other Catholic student boys who also are athletes, who have to like have the same sort of pressures around school, and sort of the same we kind of live same lifestyle sometimes, so we got to like share and open up to each other the same sort of things that we learned on the trip and the things that we're going to take away from the trip. Everyone was so amazed by the different people that we saw there in Rome. I mean, it really showed how the church was totally universal. Everyone, I mean, we saw tours being led by every single person from every nationality. When we were in the papal audience, they listed out everyone from different countries who were there in their own languages. And like that went on for almost a half hour, because the whole square is just lit up with different people from around the world. So everyone was amazed by how universal the church is, the beauty in all of the churches, and what you can learn from what those artists put in those churches, everyone was astounded by. It was very, I don't know, everyone thought it was super inspiring, because not only are they, you can hear about a life of a saint and you can learn from it, but to actually see it painted on all of the murals and things in all of those churches, also, like, everyone, I mean, you look up into the churches and your mouth stays open for like 10 minutes because there's just, it yeah. never ends. It's always something
you
to look
something,
at.
Like one person kind of goes into another person, yeah. says a story, and yeah. It's so beautiful, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we got to spend 8 days in Rome and Assisi. We got toured around in by one of the brothers from the Rome from the CUA campus. Took us around Assisi since he used to live there. And yeah, we just really got to experience all of our faith together again in a new country with very, it was a very powerful experience because those kids all kind of opened up, we all opened up to each other about how, like, you kind of stay quiet with your faith when you're surrounded by other athletes who might not think the same way as you. And being such a busy athlete is sometimes hard to, like, squeeze in faith, you know, and because a schedule is so busy all the time. But together, I mean, by the end of the trip, we were all like, oh, yeah, we'll go to church together. When do you guys want to go? And we'll go this time. Oh, yeah, adorations on Wednesdays and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was cool to just meet up with other kids who also wanted to do more with their life than just sports. They wanted to make it meaningful time with their athletic training and all that sort of stuff. It was really nice.
Oh, good. That's so inspiring. And I know my sister was telling me that during the year you guys try to, like, go to mass as a group of friends, right? Mm-hmm. There's like a 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
No, 9 p.m.
There's a 9 p.m. It's like at Catholic, there's a big sense of community, which is really cool. Like, we try to go to either like the 11 a.m. or the 9 p.m. mass, and everybody sings. It's like, it's amazing. When, like, one of my, like, the most things I'm looking forward to going back to school is singing the Gloria at Mass, because everybody sings. It's so beautiful. All you hear is young people, like, and that's something that's really nice, just being able to, like, have that, like, okay, guys, like, everybody's gonna, like, let's all get ready. We're gonna go to Mass now. Everybody goes, and then, like, we'll either, like, go eat something after, or we'll get ice cream or something like that. So just having that, like, that backbone, you know, those people to kind of, like, encourage you and to say that they, like, we know and we, like, feel the same way as you and we think the same way and we know why it's important. That's something that's really special.
Yeah.
Amen. She actually got a lot more out of Mass, worshiping with folks your own age, than you got a lot more out of it. I guess that's everybody's experience. Mm-hmm. Everybody's, that is folks like, I wanted to learn more about this, the student athlete thing too, that what sport were you involved in and what's the difference between being involved in athletics in college or having it such a big part of it, and then another student who may not have as much involvement with the athletics, as what are the challenges and what are the differences?
I think mostly I'm involved in swimming. I think the biggest challenge is really just being able to divide your time, because I mean, college classes are already very difficult, but having to divide your time into making sure that you get to practice every single day and things like that,
right.
But also try and commit to those things of your faith that you always want to do every single day.
I see.
It's difficult, but it's doable at the same time. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it kind of can sometimes feel alone because you're just so busy that you can't always meet up with friends.
Right.
But to be able to have friends that are wanting to do the same things as you and be on the same schedule as you makes it feel much more fulfilling.
I see.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. So I know that athletics can be a big part of somebody's experience or not, and I just was, it's been a positive thing for you then. It's helped you get into meet people. It's helped you to focus. It's helped you to
definitely
connect, feel a part of the place and all of that. That's very good. I wanted to hear about that. So what about the theology now? What was this? This was about a lot about the Bible, or was it something else?
Yeah, it was the theology class that we took was, basically the New Testament. So we read, pretty much, all the Gospels and just kind of, dissected them and went through it. And there was a lot of, parallels with our philosophy class, but it was, foundationally just very basic Christian theology about how God relational love and how he became man for us and the story of salvation and things like that. So yeah, we had to memorize scripture passages and relate that back to key themes.
Okay, well, sounds like a good found. Now you continue beyond that, right? In sophomore year, you take some other additional stuff now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of what you're going to be doing yet, or it's going to be a surprise? Or?
I think I'm taking a class on the virtues. I have to. I'm a business student, so I think I have to take two or three theology classes. So my next one is going to be on the virtues. So okay. The cardinal virtues and the theological virtues. So we'll see what I have.
Oh, that's cool. There's a lot of nice writing on the virtues, mm-hmm. and the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit too. Oh boy, they tie in with the virtues. Okay, mm-hmm. they're gonna give you the classic faith, hope, and charity of then what is it? Prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Yes. Oh my God, that's going to be an exciting course.
Yeah.
And then to get practical examples. Yeah.
I think that's really key, especially working with young people, especially talking about the virtues. And our professors are really good at making us read relevant articles that talk about the pressures and the struggles that we go through, and tying okay, so how not only do we want you to learn the virtues, but we want you to learn how to apply them to your life. It's not just knowing them, it's actually becoming virtuous. That's something at this school, they really try and shape you, help you grow, your mind and your body, especially Michael's talking about being an athlete, that's the physical, they want you to be healthy, they want you to be intelligent, but they also really want you to have that spiritual growth, even in the classes, they want you to grow.
Well, you sound excited about this place.
She loves it. I see it. Yes. It's awesome. That's
right.
How it's supposed to be, right? You wanna?
That's right. That's really terrific.
Yeah. I'm just thinking there's so much you could get into, a whole class on virtues, and it could just keep going, how you could just get deeper and deeper, mm-hmm. with scripture and with themes. It's really great. And we're going to actually play a little song right now just to kind of break it up a little bit, and just to surrender everything to the Lord and our topics here today. And we'll be back to talk more. Father Peter and Seren and Michael will share. Thank you.
My Lord, take my sufferings, oh my Lord. Take my joys, take my tears, take my love. Take my memory, Lord. Take my understanding, Lord. Take my mind, take my freedom, take my will. Take my talents, Lord. Take my weaknesses, O Lord. Take my secrets, take my sorrows, take my sins. Take me all that I am, and make me empty of desire. For your love and grace are everything I need. Yours is my life. I abandon all I am to you, my God. This bread, my Lord, take this wine I offer you. Take my neighbors, though imperfect, they are yours. And take my prayers, my Lord, make me empty of desire. For your love and grace are everything. Your
Jesus provides everything that we need. Good morning again. This is Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. And please feel free to call or text in. Our call-in number is 631-888-8811. And the text-in number is 516-784-6081. We've been getting a lot of great feedback on Facebook. I've been posting a Facebook Live video, and a lot of friends and people have been watching and saying good morning and liking it so far. So thank you so much for listening on and watching on social media. You could like us on Facebook. And yeah, it's every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. our the radio show. We talk about how God loves you, and we want you to know how much he loves you, and bring that love to you through our stories. Just to kind of jump back into it, I was just speaking to Joe not too long ago. He is he helps Trevor here at the station and helps us organize the show every Saturday. And he actually had a story that tied in really well to our conversation before. We were talking about Italy and how going to a new place, you meet new people, and how the Catholic faith going somewhere and it brings you all together and you're strengthened by people. I think of iron sharpens iron. It's like a small quote in the scripture that my co-host would have liked to use, that iron sharpens. So we sharpen one another. We help each other. So Joe, you could share your story if you don't mind.
No problem. Hey, guys. Hey, Katarina.
Good morning.
I just wanted to share a story. You were talking about Italy and going to Italy. I've been married 4 years now, and me and my wife went to Nicaragua on a vacation for our anniversary. And it was amazing how it's very humble there. The people live very simply. They don't have much. But the people that we met in our travels, they really love the Catholic faith, and they were really strong in their faith. And it was amazing to me because I know that country had a lot of problems with fighting communism and socialism, and to find the people there were really strong in their Catholic faith and believed a lot of the same things that I believed here in America was really fulfilling and really amazing to see that.
Great. And did you do anything specific while you were there, like activities and like fun things you could just mention that?
Yeah, it was amazing. We actually, the place we booked our vacation, a lot of the stuff that we did, there was a kid named Ricardo. He was only 20 years old, and he actually ran the place. So they were very mature for their age, and he knew English and Spanish. He took us everywhere, to the volcanoes in Masatempe. We went to Granada. We saw the live volcanoes, and we saw a lot of the history of the country, and it was really amazing just to see the beauty of another country. Mm-hmm. And it was my first time out of the country, So for me and my wife, it was a big deal because my wife had gone to other countries when she was younger, but I wasn't, unfortunately, didn't go out of the country. So for me, it was a big deal to see other places.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, so let's... We're going back now. I wanted to mention, so Serena, tell us what your major is right now, and then Michael could share as well, and just what you're thinking of doing with your studies, and just, if you don't know, it's okay. It's such a hard decision, right?
$1 million question. I'm studying international economics and finance, so it's business, but I'm thinking more of studying economics, especially concentrating on developmental economics. So really working with like developing communities and trying to rebuild them. It's a lot of like math and research based, and seeing like what really can help rebuild like the economy of certain places. So I just like really started like taking like my basic econ classes, but doing a program that's supposed to be like accelerated master's program. So I have to know another language, and I definitely have to travel, like eventually, at least like even over a summer semester, or do research like abroad. Like that's part of like an aspect of the program. So I'm really looking forward to that. And yeah, that's what I'm studying. Not sure what I'm going to do with it yet, though.
Great, thank you. And what about you, Michael? What are you studying?
I'm currently studying biomedical engineering. So far, I mean, as far as I've gotten right now, I'm also in the pre-med track. I kind of do want to go to med school. I don't know, I've always been fascinated by all the different types of stuff you can do as a doctor. And I also really do like bioethics, so I might try and do something in that respect. Also, I really have an interest in the human brain, because I feel like not much is known about it yet, and like things like mental illnesses and stuff like that, I think could also be researched extensively and find out more about it, because I think that's something that would be helpful in our society nowadays.
Sure.
Well, both. You guys are just getting out of your first year. Did you have to declare these as majors this early, or is just this is the focus that you have? I mean, do you have to declare these like this economics or biomed? Are these already majors for you, or are you still open, you know, still in the early stages of pinning that down?
You're not supposed to switch after sophomore year. Mm-hmm. For now, I could switch as much as I want, so right. It's not like super official. Right.
But you declare something.
Right now I am in the School of Engineering.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah, and I'm in the School of Business. I think just because our programs are kind of like a little more intensive, they want you to kind of have some direction, at least in the beginning, so you can start taking your classes early. I see. This way you can kind of just be on schedule. Otherwise, you get pretty, like it's a lot to handle in your last 2 years.
So you get started early on your major. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. If you got the focus. I often thought of the idea that, well, kids go to college not knowing so much, but the first 2 years they kind of dabble in this and dabble
definitely
in that.
Definitely,
some of but, you know, then finally they pin it down. But looks like you guys are pinning it down a little earlier there, so in one way or another. Well, go for it then. Go for it.
Yes, that was my experience. I went to Nassau for 2 years and did liberal arts. I know that I liked more English and more like liberal arts versus, I mean, I did enjoy math and science, but not as much as like languages and literature and just philosophy. I took one philosophy course in Nassau, and I really enjoyed it. And I guess it's one of those things that it can be hard. So, but I liked it, and I guess I grabbed onto it. It was a beginner philosophy, and my classmates were asking me for help. They're like, do you understand this? Like, how do you get this? And I would be like, this is what it means, and try to like give the examples. But real life examples makes it so much easier, because otherwise it's just like straight up you know, knowledge. And it is hard, but I think God definitely helps us find our he guides us in the direction, like slowly for surely. And it's definitely, I was just thinking, it's great to keep our students in prayer all the time, because you know, to what is God's will, where should I go? It's tricky.
These are critical years, the college years and the years right afterwards, for, you know, whether young people will hold on to their faith or not. So mm-hmm. I was wondering how your family has reacted. Did they encourage you about Catholic U, or were a little hesitant about you going there? Did they want you to go to some other places, or what was the story about all that?
It is 5 to 6 hours away.
Yeah,
right?
For me, it's about 7. My mom, though, when I was deciding whether or not to, when I was deciding what college I was going to go to, I mean, I also wanted to go to a school that was definitely had a good Catholic community, Christian community, something around that, because, you know, you don't really want to be alone.
Right.
Kind of helps you stay on track. Right. So when we were looking at colleges, it definitely, we kept in mind that it had to have something that I could stay in touch with my faith.
Okay.
So
what other colleges did you consider?
University of Dallas.
Dallas, okay.
They have a good community. Ave Maria, Steubenville.
Mm-hmm.
They all very strong faith there.
Right.
But also my older brother went to Catholic.
Oh, I see.
And just walking around the campus when I came to see him play his rugby games and stuff like that, I met his friends and stuff like that. The whole campus was so nice. Everyone seemed comfortable. So, I mean, when I visited there, it was the only school I actually applied to. I liked it a lot, and my mom liked it because it definitely had the faith that we were looking for. So we didn't have any trouble there.
Okay.
Oh, good. That's exciting. What about you, Serena?
Yeah, my parents were like overjoyed when they came to visit with me. They realized that it was definitely the place for me. And even though my mom was very adamant about me like not going away, like she really did not want me to go away to school. Even after I made my decision, she
Your older sister didn't go away.
Yeah, right? And
so
neither
this was going to be a big challenge.
Uh-huh. And neither did my older brother. Mm-hmm. So I was like really the first one. So it was a shock, and even after I made my decision, she was like, "Are you sure you don't want to just like stay home? Like you could still just always transfer." But they realized once we like were on the campus that it was the place for me, so they're really happy too.
Okay.
Yes, we're so proud of all of you students, and you received a scholarship, Serena. So that's just been a huge blessing as well. So,
mm-hmm.
So I know Father, we were mentioning before about the summer gospel for when Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Right.
What are some, I guess, how can we keep that in mind this summer? I know in the practical way of trying to get away a little bit, but what is the Lord trying to tell us?
What's the Lord trying to tell us about his burden? Well, the burden that the Lord has, of course, is the most universal and widespread, and it's so ironical, it's so unusual that the Lord says his burden is light, because he's going to be carrying the sins of the world, you know, and then it can be no heavier burden than that. But if we walk with the Lord, we mysteriously find out that our burdens are lighter. You know, that walking on the beach theme of all of a sudden you notice there's just the one set of footprints, and those were the times that Jesus carried the weary person and that type of thing, who's walking with Jesus. So really that may be the best symbol of letting the Lord carry you, you know, through the thing. He doesn't always choose to take all the problems away. You know, we have to work our way through them. In other words, the Lord wants you to study when you're in college. He wants you to reach out to others. He wants you to, you know, test yourself, you know, push yourself. You know, there's no other way except he's got to let you sink or swim a little bit, you know, to get the knack of it all. But he's going to be with you, you know. Now during the summertime, what a precious time it is. You know, you're away from classes, you're away from assignments for a while. You can accomplish so much. You can. It doesn't mean you have to do all this outside reading necessarily, or visit all these. But you know, just choose your time. You have more freedom, more use of your time. What a wonderful time it is. I mean, maybe you have to have a summer job and that type of thing. But still, there's so many aspects of different things that you can do to restore your soul and whatnot. This little 8-day trip that he took. What a what a nice thing that was. He couldn't spend a, I guess you, if you're what in athletics, you can't spend a semester abroad, I guess, because it doesn't work that way. But still, you can do other things. So that's really what I think we're driving at. Staying God's course amidst sin. That's a, I think it's a little lengthy to read it now, but the whole idea of it, of course, is that, you know, that we, each of us has a set of talents, a set of opportunities, and the Lord's going to help us use those things to bring happiness to others and to let us find our happiness themselves, you know.
Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. I know that you're going to be going on a pilgrimage soon, and can you just mention the dates of that?
Once again, our Bishop Barris wrote a special thing on Fatima and the 100 years since the apparition. So it seemed like a lot of things are dovetailing together. We have a wonderful pilgrimage set up for the end of October and the beginning of November, starting in Portugal and working our way up to Fatima, working our way across northern Spain to many places that are historically significant, Avila, Loyola, Burgos, Salamanca, these places, then over the Pyrenees Mountains, which are glorious, into Lourdes. And the first part of the pilgrimage ends there. Lourdes is nestled in the foothills of the Pyrenees, a very beautiful little place. And then there'll be an optional trip over to Paris. Some people were a little afraid, but it seems that they've got a handle on the terrorism situation there now, and it's safer to go. There are many, you know, Paris looks, you look upon Paris as a sort of a modern city or a city of free thinking or whatever it is, but there's many Catholic shrines, not only Notre Dame, but Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, St. Vincent de Paul. We go out to Lisieux to see Therese, the little flower. Lots of little opportunities to renew our, even the Normandy beaches, the D-Day beaches of Normandy, where many Americans gave their lives for free in World War II, will visit those places. So it promises to be a great pilgrimage. Lots of people are signing up. Get in touch with me, and I'll get you a brochure. Okay. So thanks, Katerina, for that little time to give a plug. And don't forget also the coffee house. You tell them about the coffee house.
Yes, of course. I have to say, but thank you, Father. That's so exciting. I would love to go to Lourdes in France one day. Yeah, you don't realize the little Catholic gems that are around you, different places.
To the coffee house too.
Get
them to come.
There's going to be a barbecue at the coffee house at St. Francis of Assisi Church in Greenlawn, New York, on July 18th at 7 p.m. There's going to be a barbecue, and then there's going to be a guest speaker, and he's going to share a little bit his testimony about his experience in growing closer to God. And it's just supposed to be a very fun, relaxing kind of night. Hang out, have some food, and then go home probably around 10, 11. It'll be ending. And yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Oh, thank you.
Sounds like the place to be on the 18th. How about
yeah.
that?
Yes. Uh huh. Okay. So let's continue. So, Serena, I know you went to Greece this year on a school trip. Oh, and Michael, too. You were part of, you went to Greece.
No.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Caitlin, I'm sorry. I thought you went this year. But tell us about that trip that you went with the school and how that you grew closer in your faith. And
It was for spring break. It was part of like the honors program. It was just like it was a class too. So we learned a lot about ancient Greece and the philosophy too. So like that was cool. Like we got to see some places where. Like Socrates like grew up and like taught. We went to the Acropolis and like really places in Greece that are like really part of the culture. So that was interesting. We learned a lot, and we got to see a lot of like different churches too, and just it was a learning experience too, getting to see how other people live. I think that's really was a big part of the experience too, getting out of just like our little bubble sometimes, because especially we forget that like we grow comfortable where we are, especially like in this country with all our freedoms, and going to the Catholic University of America, it's great and everybody is so like so passionate, but then once you go somewhere else where like maybe Catholicism isn't the first religion or like the priority faith and things like that, you get to go and see like how other people express themselves, maybe where they're under pressure too, and you just get like renewed strength and resolve from their courage or from like what they believe in and stuff. So that was really interesting and a fun experience.
So you mean economically as well? Because I know Greece was going through a hard time. So you saw, I guess, the people, their resilience there as well. And you mentioned churches. Were there Greek Orthodox
churches? There was Greek. There was a lot of Greek Orthodox churches. We found, like, the small Catholic, like, chapels, and that's where we had, like, Mass. Usually we would find, like, the English Mass and, like, hop in there. But I think we only went for 8 days, so we went to Mass once in the small chapel and stuff. But just seeing, like, the little alcoves where people, like, would go to pray and stuff was different. It was cool.
Did you get to the monasteries set up on the high rocks and all of that? Did you get to those monasteries set up way in those mountains where you have to work your way in, almost sometimes climbing in on ropes and all that?
We went to a bunch of Greek Orthodox monasteries, but they were so interesting. Like, it was in the castles in the mountains and stuff. We had to climb up so many stairs to get there, but the sisters live there, like, and they're basically cloistered, and they, like, pray, and they, like, garden, and they do their things, and it's really powerful to see, like, how they live their lives.
Yeah, the monasteries are fortresses of prayer, and the prayer tradition, the contemplative tradition in the Orthodox Church is very strong. A book you might enjoy is The Way of the Pilgrim. It's Russian Orthodox, but it's kind of a modern classic, and it would appeal, I think, to college-age kids, because the pilgrim is so simple and so humble. He wants to discover what the meaning of praying always is. And so he travels around to these learned masters, and he learns a little something, but then he's got to think for himself, too. Okay, so it's a great little book to keep in mind for a report in religion class. So The Way of the Pilgrim, okay?
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, that sounds like such an adventure, climbing the rocks and, you know, like Indiana Jones a little bit. But I know Father went to Greece as well, slightly different.
That was in the footsteps of St. Paul, probably seeing a number of the same places, but St. Paul got to all the nice places, too. He knew how to hang out in the nice places, I would recommend that pilgrimage also. But it's good that you do it when you're young, because you're so able to absorb things, and you get excited quickly about and all of that.
I just wanted to mention something exciting too. I know it's going slightly off topic, but I found out that our parish soon of St. Catherine's is going to be having a perpetual adoration chapel, which I'm not sure yet, Deb, when it's going to be opening and starting, but I'm very much looking forward to it. It's going to be open 24/7. Anybody can go in and pray. Well, there's going to be the Blessed Sacrament exposed, so it's a quiet place to pray and worship the Lord. And when I found out, I was just so happy and excited, because there's just so many blessings that come from spending that quiet time and just, you know, just being there with God. And there's just going to be so many blessings connected to that. And you need people constantly to be there every hour of the night. I'm just overjoyed with that news. And it just highlights the importance of just adoration and the beauty of that. And
And all that's tied into this radio hour, because it's Tony Chufo is really the inspiration for a lot of that, isn't it true?
I didn't know.
The Adoration Chapel that's being dead, isn't that the same thing as
the special
prayer room and whatnot?
Well, yes, I'm not sure if the perpetual chapel is going to be in that same family room. Oh. It might be in a separate chapel, but yes, recently the previous host of the show, Dr. Chufo, there was a Holy Family chapel room dedicated to him at St. Catherine's, and there were stained glass windows put in, donated by his wife, Joan, and just those stained glass in itself is very beautiful. It's very different stained glass. It's like Mary and Jesus, they have more, it represents different scenes of the Holy Family. For example, the Annunciation, when Jesus was found in the temple. And at the bottom, the line says, "We sought you sorrowing." And just the expressions is just a little bit more sorrowful. They're beautiful, but it just touched me in a very different way. It's just very human.
Hopefully I'll get to see it.
Yeah, I really hope so. Hopefully it's such a cozy room and such an inspiration that that room is dedicated to you. And he was a servant of God. And what better way to than the Mass being constantly said in that room.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So thanks for those good words. Have a good summer, everybody.
Yes, we're wrapping up here. God bless you. Have a good summer. Thank you for
thanks
listening.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Keep us.
The Spirit of sweet Jesus flows as a gentle breeze, and it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask Him, He will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember that He loves us, and let's thank Him every day.